Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. What a blessing it is to be in church, and sometimes we get physically tired and physically drained. I just sense that might be the case for many here tonight. But yet, spiritually, we need to get refueled. Amen? And the flesh will never lead you to do anything spiritually good. And so you have to just overcome the physical and look to the spiritual and ask the Lord just to keep us tuned in and plugged into what God has for us. I believe that, as you hear me say it often, getting here is half the battle. And so you've only fought half the battle, even though what it might have been a huge battle for some of you, amen, just to get here tonight. But the other half of the battle is to stay plugged in to what the Lord has for us. It was a blessing. And already to receive in the music, the special music and the congregational singing, I trust that's encouraged you some. But now as we get ready to get into the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, on Wednesday nights, we've been in a Bible study on the life of John the Baptist. I love character studies. I think you can find so much about studying what God has revealed concerning these Bible characters and then learning those biblical principles from the life story. And, of course, in what the Scriptures teach us. And these biblical principles are backed by Scripture. Scripture always interprets Scripture. And so when you learn this and you'll find a scriptural verse to be able to back up whatever that principle might be. And we've been finding this in the life of John the Baptist. It's been a tremendous study. John actually ushered in the New Testament church age. And he came and preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself ushered in this new and living way, the New Testament. And he came and he would establish his church, the New Testament church, and get everything directed. He would complete the revelation of the Word of God and during this time. And so everything was put in place, and Jesus is the one that did it. But John was the forerunner. He would have been the very first to usher in this New Testament church age and pointing people to Christ. John would prepare his disciples to be the disciples of Christ. And that's something, John the Baptist is a tremendous example of New Testament Christianity in everything that he did. And what a blessing it is to study his life. But he prepared his disciples to be the disciples of Christ. That's what our ministry is trying to point everyone and anyone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of the time you'll win them to yourself, and as you win them to yourself, you'll use that to promote Christ, because that's what they need more than they need you, is they need Christ, they need God. And he said, he told his disciples after he pointed them to Jesus, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And then he would say, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And how important that is. Every parent needs to be aware of that. As you raise your children, as they get older, you must decrease. Amen. And he must increase. And they cannot be eternally dependent upon you all their lives, because you're not always going to be around. But they can be dependent upon the Lord, because he can sustain us throughout eternity. And praise the Lord for that. But he must increase, I must decrease. So we studied that as one of what John's, the messages that John gave. Last week, we seen we're coming to the end of his ministry on this earth, prepared 30 years, had a 6 months to a 1 year ministry, and then his life would be gone. His accomplishments would be over. I don't think that John understood that, but that's, as we look back, we know that's what it was. And so we find here that after Jesus come on the scene and after he taught this, then Herod, the Bible says in Luke 3:20, shut up John in prison. It was a test of faith. And last week's message, just a powerful truth, because it's always been humanity has always been about a test of faith. And we presented last week that trials and troubles are part of this life. It takes faith to profit from them. And God would have us to profit from any trial, and whatever troubles that he allows to come into our life. We look back and looked at Adam and Eve. Had two boys, the one killed the other one. It was a test of faith. How would they respond to that? And all the way through the Old Testament, test of faith. All the way through the New Testament, a test of faith. And so we find now that John's faith is going to be tested, and it would be recorded for us and all throughout this New Testament church age to glean from that. He had just as much of an impact as he was thrown in prison for the future church as anything else he would do. And it was a test of faith. And that's what we're looking at now, is a test of faith that moves on from John being put in prison, okay? Shut up in prison by Herod. And so tonight, I want to take you over to Matthew chapter 4 as we continue this study, and would be the very next event now that John has been arrested. What takes place? Go ahead and stand with me. Let's read here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 through 17. Everybody plugged in? Tell yourself, I'm plugged in, all right? You got to tell yourself that and stay plugged in throughout the message, okay? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, Jesus, in Matthew's account, had just revealed the fact that he had been taken out into the wilderness and tempted and tried by the devil himself. Right after this, we find in verse 12, chapter 4. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The very same thing that John came preaching. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us and for the opportunity that you made available for all of us who are here to be here tonight. The opportunity had to be made available, but then we had to choose to come. And I thank you for the choice that each one made. And Lord, as we have assembled here, I thank you for your presence in this place. And I pray, God, that as we study this passage of Scripture concerning the life of John the Baptist, that you would give each one of us insight into how you would use this in speaking to us individually and collectively as a church family. Pray that you would empower the teaching of thy word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So, in verse 12, now when, and I think that is very important that you underline that word, when. John, we find in the book of Luke, and Luke records that Herod had shut up John in prison. And now we find Matthew's account, and he also reveals that John was put in prison, but now he is not looking at it from John's perspective as much as he is from Jesus' perspective. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into the prison, he departed into Galilee. Can I tell you that, well, look down to verse 17. Or no, I'm sorry, verse 16 is what I want you to see here. Let's go back to verse 14. That it might be fulfilled. And we're going to go back through all these in just a minute, but that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. So something that was spoken by Isaiah in the Old Testament concerning future prophecy is now being fulfilled. And we're going to see some of that and understand some of that, but it's now being fulfilled. But what actually led to the fulfillment of that, of Jesus going there, was when he heard when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison. So the message tonight, I think, as we study this and this next event in the life of John the Baptist and how God used his life to impact ours and help us with these biblical principles, is that God controls the events of history. Something we might, you ought to know about that, but sometimes we lose sight of that. God is ultimately in control of all events. Not that God causes all events, but God has to allow everything that happens to happen, and that God will bring to pass certain things. But everything, every event, leading all the way back to the very first Adam, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, what we even studied in the book of Revelation as we're coming to the end of that, that ultimately God controls the events of history. As he controls the events of history, he has eternal purposes in view all the time. We've seen this much in the life of the Apostle Paul. He has a whole world and eternity in view all the time. It's one of the thoughts that we got from studying the life of the Apostle Paul and everything that took place in his life. It was not just for that period of time that Paul walked on the face of the earth, but it would impact all of Christianity for this entire New Testament church age, and which will have an impact on eternity future, on a place of heaven and a place of hell. And so all these come together. He has eternal purposes in view and all the time. Now, when we understand that's true, when it came to humanity back in the very beginning with Adam and Eve and all the way through the Old Testament, we see it's true in the New Testament, starting out here with John the Baptist, it ought to help you to realize that God knows what's going on in your life. And ultimately, whatever you go through in your life, God doesn't cause it all to happen. We're going to see some of that in just a minute. But God is very much aware of it, and he has a purpose for allowing it to happen, even though he might not have caused it to happen, how it will impact history and your life and your future and others. God is very much aware of it. And he has eternal purposes in view in everything that he allows to take place and what he brings to pass. The first thing, as we look here at John the Baptist, understanding that John was not cast into prison because God could not protect him. Some would get that. We say, well, he was a servant of God and he was preaching the word and he was a forerunner, but God just couldn't protect him. He allowed Herod to throw him in prison. That couldn't be any farther from the truth. Jesus, when he heard that John was cast into prison, we find he knew exactly what he was going to do when that news came to him. And not that he needed that news to come. He already knew because he's God. But it's written down for you and I to see that when that event and time happened, when God allowed that to happen, it led Jesus to do what he did. And which would be fulfillment of prophecy. So, as we look at this, don't feel sorry for John and don't think that God abandoned him and that it was kind of a sad thing that now John has to be thrown in prison, and later on we'll study that John has to be beheaded and have this thought that because God just couldn't protect him. No, that's not true. God knew exactly what was going to take place. It wasn't because God could not protect him, nor was it because John had done wrong. Well, it's not written down there, but for the Lord to let that happen to John, he must have failed somewhere. For surely, now, if he had this health, wealth, and prosperity, if he had enough faith, he would have health, wealth, and prosperity. Kind of shoots some holes in that, doesn't it, when you really study the life of John the Baptist? Well, it's just because you don't have enough faith, and that's why this has happened to you. Or, Job, if you've had to have sinned, it would not have happened to you if you had not have sinned somewhere in your life. You've done something wrong. You have to have sin in your life for God to allow that to happen to you. Now we know how foolish that was of Job's three best friends. Friends like that, you don't need enemies. Amen? So now we look at this. John the Baptist was doing nothing but preaching the word of God and standing faithful to the things of God. And yet we find that John now is shut up in prison. We studied last week probably the worst thing that could have happened to a man like John. He was an outdoorsman. Most outdoorsmen can't be shut up in just four small walls and put in like a cage. It would drive them crazy. This was probably the worst thing that could have happened to John. And he would be all alone in there and have to be thinking about what was going on. And we'll study a little bit later. It did test his faith. And this is what it's all about. It's a test of faith. But God knew what he was doing, what he allowed to happen. He had purpose, eternal purposes in view. So it wasn't because God could not protect him. It wasn't because John had done wrong. It was just time. When Jesus had heard. Connects it all the way back to prophecies from Isaiah. And when Isaiah made the prophecies, God knew at a certain point in time, later on when John would come, that he would be put in prison. And when he would be put in prison, it would now direct Christ to do what was prophesied. That's how much control God has. That's how much insight God has into the lives of humanity. It was an act of the free will of all of those involved, but ultimately, God knew it. It was an act of all of those involved, of the free will. Did John have a free will? John had a free will. So what was John? John had a free will. He chose to live his life for Christ out of a free will. Now, God had a purpose for his life, and we find there's much about that. But we understand even from the very beginning and the birth of John and all the things that happened. But ultimately, the Bible tells us and teaches us that every man, woman, and child has a free will. And we will give an account of ourselves because there's only one person that can control your will, and that is you. So John, based on his free will, he said, I'm going to preach the word of God to everybody. I'm not going to be a respecter of persons. And so when Herod and Herodias comes along, I'm going to continue to preach the very same message that every man, woman, and child needs to understand about the will of God. He didn't back off telling Herod that he was an adulterer. And telling Herodias that she was an adulteress. And what they had done was wrong in God's eye. He did not back off from that. So he had a free will. He could have said, no, I'll preach to everybody else. I'm just not going to preach to Herod like that because he could throw me in jail. He had a free will. He didn't have to preach that message on that particular day in the presence of Herod and Herodias. But he chose to serve God. Herod had a free will. Herod could have received the message, acknowledged his sin, and said, John, what do I do about it? Like everyone else had been doing when they were baptized in repentance. That's what John was doing. He was trying to reveal their sin to them, helping them then to understand that his baptism was the baptism of repentance, but there was coming one after him whose baptism, amen, would be as with fire. It would be the Holy Spirit of God. It would give them eternal life. But he was preparing them for that. Herod could have received the word and said, what should I do? John would have said, repent and be baptized. And be prepared to receive Christ as your Savior. Amen. He didn't do that. Herodias had an opportunity of her free will. She could have listened to the message herself and said, Herod, you know he's right. What he's preaching, we know it's opposite what the scriptures teach. It's opposite the law that God established. And she could have repented. But they chose not to repent. They chose to take the preacher and shut him up in prison. More Herodias than Herod, but if you'll study the scriptures, you'll find it was Herodias that wanted the head of John the Baptist brought to her in a charger. Herod did not actually want to do that because he did have a reverential fear of John, but yet because of his reputation, he went ahead and had John beheaded. And we'll see some of that as we continue the story and the life account of John the Baptist. But right now, what we're looking at here is that they all three had a free will. It was an act of the free will of all those involved, Herod and Herodias. But even though they had a free will, God knew what would take place. You say, well, if they have a free will, how could he have? What we have to understand is what the Bibles tell us. We can't fully understand all things, but we just by faith say, if God says they had a free will, they had a free will. If God says he knew ahead of time what they would do, God knew ahead of time what they would do. And that we understand that as we connect that to the omniscience of God. God is omniscient, all knowing. Psalms chapter 147. Everybody with me? Come on, stay with me tonight. Psalms 147. Understand you have a free will, but ultimately God is omniscient. He knows what you will decide to do before you decide to do it. Psalms 147. The psalmist speaking of the Lord, he says here, and of course the scripture is all inspired by God. God wanted this to be written about him. The Bible says, he telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. I mean, that ought to explode your mind. The stars, the scientists of the day would tell you they're innumerable. You can't number. There is no way that you can number the stars. And the Bible says, not only does God know how many there are, he gave every one of them a name. Yeah. I think most of you know, my family had 13, and my mom and dad got tired of trying to come up with middle names. Several of my brothers, they don't have middle names. Just didn't give them a middle name. Why? I don't know. They had 13 kids, I guess. God numbers and gives names to every star. Beyond my comprehension, it's not beyond his. But then he says this, great is our Lord and of a great power. His understanding is infinite. We have finite minds. We have limitations. There are no limitations on God. Therefore, he's omniscient. There's nothing that God does not know, although he gives you a free will to make whatever choice that you determine to make. In 1 John 3:20, the Bible says, God knoweth all things. And he does. So the time had come. Several times in the scripture you'll find in the dispensations of time. And in Galatians it says when Christ came, it was in the fullness of times. When everything had come together, every event had taken place that God knew would take place, it was time for this to take place, the next event to happen. The end of certain events bring about the beginning of others. Now think about that. The end of certain events bring about the beginning of others. The end of John being free to preach Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Ended. And now Jesus carries on and preaches the same thing. And every generation, there's been a generation of Christians that passed it down to the next generation. When their generation ended, it was the beginning of another. From the very beginning of time, the end of one event was the beginning of another event. At some point, the end of this New Testament church age will be the beginning of the rapture. Which, when the rapture takes place, which would be the end of this New Testament church age, then that will make the beginning of the tribulation. And we know that is 7 years. So at the end of 7 years, the tribulation will end, which will be the beginning of the millennial reign. It's something that is throughout the scriptures. So John was not cast into prison because God could not protect him. And John was not cast into prison because John had done wrong. Listen to me. It was just timing. It was the time. It was time. And so when Jesus heard when, that time, it directed him. He departed into Galilee. There are always consequences for every act of the free will of man. The consequences are going to surmise that by saying one of two things is going to happen. The consequences, either you receive God's blessings or you receive God's judgment. I believe this is done according to God's timing as well. Just when you sin does not mean that you have to be judged at that time, because many times we are not judged immediately at that time. But it establishes a time for that judgment. And whatever time that is, that's going to be determined by God. We determine what choices we make. We do not get to determine the consequences of those choices. Amen. You have a free will, and you can because of your free will, you can make a choice to do this, or you can make a choice to do that. If you make a choice based on what God wants you to do, you can receive God's blessings. If you make a choice based on what God does not want you to do, listen to me, it has been set in order that there will be a day of judgment. We will give an account of ourselves. Why? Because you have a free will. You get to choose, but you don't get to choose the consequences. For John, we're looking at this right here. I mean, this is still the life of John the Baptist here. For John, he made the right choice. He had God's blessings upon his life, even though he was treated miserably by the world. He was blessed by God, even though he was thrown in prison. What did it accomplish by him being thrown in prison? Well, he was able to run his course. He was able to fulfill his mission. There's much we're going to learn from John being placed in prison. It helps you and I to understand it was a test of his faith. We already had that message last week. We already understand this week that it was because of the timing. It was time. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have this to look back to and learn that that's the very same thing that happened to John happens to me. I have a choice. Even though when I make the right choice, it doesn't mean that you're going to have the world's blessings, but you have God's blessings. And in time, you will be able to experience the blessings of being faithful to God. John right now is rejoicing in heaven, singing the praises of God because he was able to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. he was able to set an example for all of Christianity to look back to learn the biblical principles that we are studying even yet tonight. He finished his course. He accomplished what God had him here to accomplish for John. And we'll continue with that for Herod. He made his decision, which looked like that John's in prison, Herod and Herodias is living it up in the palace until it was time for him to be judged. Then Herod was eaten up with worms. He died a horrible death in this life, and then he opened his eyes in a more horrible situation, in an eternal hell, where he would never have an opportunity to escape. He would go from that horrible place of Gehenna, or that Hades hell, into, at the great white throne judgment, being cast into Gehenna hell, where there has been torment day and night. That's what Herod is experiencing tonight. John's experiencing the blessings of God. Herod is experiencing the judgment of God based on decisions that they made. Always consequences for every act of the free will of man. The consequences, though, that we find here, this in Scripture as well, is that for Nazareth. Jesus removed himself from this area. Did you see that? He departed into Galilee. Means that when this took place, because he was in the very same area. It happened in Nazareth that Herod had John placed in prison. And so he removed himself from the area which removed the light from that area. As Jesus left Nazareth, the darkness would return, because his presence represented the blessings of God. Now look what happened to the place that he went into. Not even touching it. For he went into, look what it says here, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. In verse 16, the people which sat in darkness, they were in darkness, but now the presence of Christ is there, and they saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadows of death, light is sprung up. Why? Because Jesus is there. When God's servants are not appreciated, when God's servants are not respected, when God's servants are not honored, the blessings of God will not abide in that area. Herod was the leader making decisions that would affect the whole area. His decision was to take the man of God, the servant of God, and have him shut up in prison. When Jesus heard that, then it led him to remove himself and go to another location, where the other location, wherever he was at, he brought the light to the people. But where he left returned to darkness. We don't have time, but Numbers in chapter 12, you'll find the story of Aaron and Miriam. And they talked negatively about God's servant, Moses. And they would have rebelled against Moses and led the people against Moses. They had no respect for the man that God said is going to speak for me. They had a free will to do that. But little did they know that once they disrespected the man of God, the servant of the Lord, that brought God's judgment down upon them, and Miriam became a leper. Even Moses started praying for Miriam. And Aaron asking, pleading, don't. This is going to take my life if Miriam becomes and remains a leper. And God had mercy because I believe Moses, the one that they were speaking against, became an intercessor. Later on, you find in 2 Kings in chapter 2, and in verses 23 and verse 24, Elisha now becomes the new mouthpiece for God after Elijah had passed off the scene. And right, one of the very first events in the life of Elisha, as he's going, and now the people know him to represent God, and he's walking through the land, and the children come out, and the Bible says they mock him and start calling him bald man. And the Bible says right after that, that the bears come out and devoured those children. The she-bears come out. Why? Can I tell you that you say, how could God do such a thing? These were children. Can I tell you the emphasis was placed upon teaching children to respect the servants of God? Every parent ought to take heed to that message that we find in the book of 2 Kings, because every child needs to understand how important it is to reverence God, His church, and His servants. Every child needs to be raised that way. If every child was raised that way, we'd have a different society today. In past years in the United States of America, every child was raised that way, because the laws backed it up. The laws used to say Sunday was a special day, a sacred day. Not going to be able to sell and buy liquor on Sundays. The laws of our country, they respected God. They had a reverence for God. They had a reverence for the church. They had a reverence for the servants of God. And because they had a reverence for the servants of God, we find that God would bless America. Biblical principle all the way throughout the whole the scriptures. Jesus sent his disciples out, house to house, in every city. And he said in Luke 10, verse 10 to 12, they receive you not, shake off the dust. The judgment for those who did not receive you is going to be worse than those that died in Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they had an opportunity, unlike possibly what they had in Sodom and Gomorrah. You study it. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, go there with me, let's study that. We've got enough time to look over there. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. You want God's blessings and you take care of God's man. You want God's blessings and you honor and respect God's servants. That's what he's saying. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Can I tell you why so many churches are suffering today? And they're suffering because they do not have the hand of God and the blessings of God upon it. Because the people have chosen not to honor God and His servants. They want the church to be run the way they want it to be run. And they want to have the authority and they want to... God will not bless that. The Bible says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is just what the Bible says. It is taught throughout the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly. That esteem means to respect them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Can I tell you why? I think one of the reasons that God has so richly blessed this Lighthouse Baptist Church is because this church does that. I've been the only pastor this church has had 30 years. And this church has done that. And I feel humbled by that. I don't feel like that I deserve that, but yet it's not me as much as it's the position that God has established. You honor God's servants. You respect God. They represent the Lord. If we desire God's blessings, we must appreciate and honor His servants. We find this in John the Baptist. What a great biblical principle taught. John was just doing what God told him to do. He made a choice. I'm going to say and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Herod made a choice. We're not going to receive it. We're not going to honor him. We're not going to respect him. We're going to shut him up in prison. Herodias made a choice. They can make that choice, and God's servant might have to suffer for a time being, but ultimately he will have God's blessings, and God's judgment will be upon those who disrespect God, his church, and his servants. Amen. If we desire God's blessings, we must appreciate and honor His servants. Can I tell you, as a church, we have a great opportunity coming up here in just another month. We're hosting the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship. There's going to be God's servants, missionaries, pastors, evangelists, full-time servants from all around the world. Literally. Missionaries representing God all around the world are coming home, and they come home just to attend these Global Independent Baptist Fellowship meetings. Only have two a year. And they'll come home just to attend these meetings so they can hear the Word of God being preached by some of the most powerful preachers alive today. Amen. They'll be preaching from this podium right here. And this auditorium will be packed with servants of the Lord. And this church has an opportunity to encourage them, to honor them. That'll bring God's blessings. I believe that's one of the reasons God's lifted up this church. I believe one of the things that God's raised this church up to do is to be a blessing to other churches. My wife has a tremendous ministry to ladies all around this country. Making a choice to honor God's servants. Making a choice to encourage anyone and everyone who wants to do right. Making a choice to try to do whatever I can to help the furtherance of the gospel. It's a choice we make. The blessings are associated with making sure our choice aligns itself with God's will. In America, I think we look back over the history of the United States of America. Our laws were established to honor churches. Our laws were established to honor God's word. Our laws were established to honor God's day, the Lord's day on Sundays. There was laws designed to honor God's servants. Today, government still gives some recognition, tax exemption, but that's slowly but surely being taken away. They're just finding other ways to tax the church by calling them fees and whatever. I mean, it's unreal the things that we pay now that would not have paid before, but they have just not called them taxes. They call them fees. And the government still honors servants of the Lord by giving them housing allowance. That's, praise the Lord, we're going to take advantage of it as long as they're on. But understand what I'm saying here is there still is a glimpse of what we used to be, but there's still something there. And because of that, I believe God is still blessing. But what happens when the government says we'll not honor the church any longer? We'll not honor God's servants any longer. We'll not acknowledge the scriptures any longer. It might be exactly what's going to usher in the next event. The rapture of the church. I believe America could hold the key to what's going to take place to end this church age. And the end of one event is the beginning of another event. I don't know. I'm not making predictions. I'm just saying that I know what God blesses and what God judges. And we have a free will. Ultimately, God knows what it will be, but we have a free will. Let's choose as John did. No matter what the consequences, ultimately, God knows what's going to take place. And I choose to make the decisions that's going to bring the blessings of God upon my life. If I could have ever head bowed and ever eye closed. God knows what will bring about the time for the rapture. I believe John's life helps us to understand this even better. The life of John the Baptist helps us to understand this. I'm not going to have a musical invitation. There's an invitation right now. God's speaking to you tonight. If there's something that you need to bring to this altar, then we would encourage you to do so. Make whatever decisions that God would have spoken to you about while we have opportunity to make them. Praise the Lord for the example of the life of John the Baptist, and there's so much there to learn from. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. Don't lose sight of that. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the teaching of the Word of God, the example of John the Baptist, and for each and every one that was here tonight, and pray that you would speak to them through this, even allow them to take home some of these truths that would strengthen them to make right decisions, to finish their course, to run their race, no matter what the consequences. Pray that you'd strengthen us to do that. Continue to have your hand, place your hand upon this church, empower and use this church to be a true lighthouse, be a vessel that you would work through to accomplish all that you would have this church to accomplish in this New Testament church age. Be with us as we get ready to dismiss. Watch over each one. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.